How are we going, church? Are we going well? We're going very well. That's good. It's a bit chilly this morning, isn't it? Oh, no, stay up. The nod. We're gonna. No, it's a bit chilly this morning, isn't it? It was nice, but it's good weather. It's good weather. I'm loving this weather. I think in Queensland we need to have a bit of cold weather because it's hot all the other times of the world. I can't stand hot weather. Church. As you can see, today Trudy led praise and worship, which is pretty cool. I think it's pretty amazing. If you didn't know, Pastor Jason was supposed to be, you wouldn't know, but Pastor Jason was supposed to be leading worship, and then he got rostered on at Redcliffe to preach today. Then Tiana was like, I'm away. And then they asked Faith, she was away. And you know what? We thought, you know what? It's time for Trudy to step up. And I was thinking about it, and I did this in the first service, but I really want to do this in the second service as well. And I was thinking about it, and I really believe that, yeah, in man's plans, this seems like a shock, but God always had this as a plan where it may feel rushed to her. Trust me, when I was speaking to her on Friday night, she was telling me that it was rushed, but I knew it wasn't, because I believe that the church needs your gifting, Trudy. I believe that as a worship leaders all have different gifts. So Tiana's, she's got breakthrough. I believe as she praises, there's a breakthrough anointing on her faith. There's an anointing, but to bring a service from here to here. Trudy, I believe her gifting is as she preaches her very first word, something shifts and an atmosphere shifts. She's an atmosphere shifter in her gifting. And I really believe that today we saw the start of that. Today, a bit of history, because you're going to be using your gift over and over again, which is very exciting. And I really believe that God is going to use you in this space, that it's not just a man's plans that you're here today, but God had this in mind. It was always supposed to happen today. And she's grown a lot. I can tell you right now, when I first met Trudy, well, not when Trudy first became a youth leader, she used to frustrate me so much that I just didn't speak to her. And that was my bad. Shouldn't have done that, but I just got Tiana to deal with her because she's so annoying. Compared to like who she is now, and like she's grown so much over the time, and it's so good to see just the gifting on your life. And I really believe that this is the start of something huge, Trudy. So keep on going. And church, how good was praise and worship today for a first time? Awesome. It's awesome. You may take your seat now. I've got also a few testimonies, church, which is exciting. As many of us know, that this year I took on our youth ministry, all three of our youth ministries, Redcliffe, Warner and Morayfield, which has been exciting. It's been an interesting challenge, learning the different needs of each youth ministry and the different like strengths and weaknesses of each youth. It's quite interesting. But it's been a challenge, just this youth ministry needs that, this youth ministry needs that, this youth ministry needs that, and navigating my way around. But what I found not challenging is the actual teenagers themselves. It's been awesome. Our teenagers are hungrier than I've ever seen for God in my life. The other week I was chatting to two teenagers, and I was like, as I do, oh, who invited you tonight? What school do you go to? What grade are you in? All of those sort of questions. And they told me no one invited me. I just found God in my bedroom and went on Instagram and went, I got to go to youth. And that's how God found both of them in their bedrooms at separate times. And they're like, we got to give God a go. Let's find a youth ministry. Let's find out what we need to do because I want more of God. How cool is that? Like back in the day, we used to have to do like 14 different giveaways and then like have like everything under the sun here so that we can get three teenagers to come. And then and then one of them wins the pair of shoes and the two other go, I've stuffed this place. I'm out. Now, teenagers would just want God. We don't have to, in a sense, bribe our way for them to come and experience God. So I just want to, like, and that's happening regularly. Our teenagers are just so hungry for God. I was here on Friday night for the first time in a while because I just wanted to give Faith and Vocky, who's now running this youth ministry, just a chance to lead and grow in that. So I haven't been here for a while. And they're like, Jack, we've got 80, 90 teenagers. They're all in love with God. They're loving God. They're loving church. And they're just hungry. And I was like, awesome. But I didn't believe them. Personally, I thought, okay, yeah, sure. I've been doing youth ministry for long enough to know that it's usually 60-40, 70-30. But no, I'm not kidding, the hunger for God in this place was amazing on Friday night. There was actually probably 90 to 100 teenagers that were just so on fire for God. Yeah, we had some giveaways. Yeah, we had a 9-meter rock climb wall. They didn't care about that. They just wanted to praise and worship. They wanted to hear a message and they wanted to receive from God, which is so encouraging because that's what it's about. We don't just run youth group for a club for just to be fun and just to get teenagers off the streets and out of the shops. Sorry, if you're like that, speak life over our teenagers, please. Don't. They're going to be a blessing to us. I'm telling you that right now. But we do it because we know God is the answer. We do it because we know that God can change their lives, and God is changing their lives. And church, we should be encouraged in what we're seeing in our youth ministry. God is moving. Teenagers are rising up, and just there's something shifting. I'm telling you right now. But I'm not here to speak on youth today. I'm here to speak a message. And today I've named my message, "What Are You Growing?" Everybody say, "What am I growing?" Fantastic. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Lord, we know your presence is in this place right now. And Jesus, we ask right now, show us the areas in our life that are producing fruit, but that can produce more fruit. Show us the areas in our life that you may need to cut off, that you may need to prune so that we can grow fruit in those areas. Lord, speak to me today as I'm preaching. Speak to each and every one of us today as we're listening, Jesus. And we want to hear your words today. We want to hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible, the word fruit is mentioned several times. It's mentioned a lot of times. It's mentioned a lot of times in a literal sense, with a lot of prophets talking about fruit and all of that, and people in the Bible just speaking about fruit because that's how they ate. Makes sense. And then we've also heard, as well as God in Genesis 1:11, verse instructing the earth to sprout vegetation, including fruit trees bearing fruit. Even to the point that, as we know, the fruit was a bit of the reason that the world changed a little bit with Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit. It was a piece of fruit that got us. So fruit is mentioned in a literal sense, but it's also mentioned in figurative senses, with the point with Jesus mentioning it throughout the Bible many times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul mentioning it when talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit in the Bible is a powerful metaphor that represents the outward display of a person's faith and the results of their actions and character. So fruit can be deciphered positively and it can be deciphered negatively. There's two different ways. People can have positive fruit and they can have negative fruit. And then positively, in the fact that they are spirit-filled in their actions, which means they are gracious, loving, and have self-control, but also someone that is successful in a sense in life as well. An example of this is the Pharisees produced no fruit. They had the knowledge, they had the position, but the fruit on their lives wasn't very good. It wasn't there was no fruit. They produced, in a sense, negative fruit. Where someone like Paul, he didn't really get given the position. He earned the position. He worked for the position. And that's how he got the fruit. That's how he has good fruits. Now, thousands of people have been saved, probably even millions in a sense now, and billions have been impacted by the fruit that he left in his letters. See, Paul is someone that produced great fruit. But the Pharisees produced negative fruit. And that's why many of us would have heard someone say or said ourselves that that person produces good fruit. That person produces good fruit with their family, with their workplace, with their job, with their ideas, just who they are spiritually as a person. And at times, some of us may have said, well, that person doesn't produce fruit. Actually, in a sense, has negative fruit. I know you're all silent because none of you would do something like that. I might every now and then have said that, and I'm sorry to God. Because it's positive and there's negative fruit. And in the end, Jesus speaks on fruit. Because when we speak about someone's positive fruit, we look at their accomplishments, relationships, and the overall impact they have on the world around them. And what I find is that actually at the start of my ministry, I used to compare myself to many different pastors, to many different leaders, to many different people around the world going, man, they produce fruit, but I'm not seeing the same fruit as them. I'm not seeing the same. And I would compare. I would constantly compare, like I have one of my best friend, he runs a youth ministry in Melbourne, and they were seeing 250 teenagers on a Friday night. And I was seeing 30. And I was like, yeah, bit of a difference. And I used to be like, man, that guy's getting so much more fruit than me. That guy's producing so much more fruit than me. God's using that person so much more than I am. And I would constantly compare. And then I'd get to 50 and I'd find a new... And I'd still be like, no, I'm not producing enough fruit. And I'd constantly compare people's, I guess, fruit with their numbers or whatever it may have been and be like, "That I'm not doing that. I'm not being good enough." I have another friend who planted a church and he was then working with adults and seeing so many fruits with adults. And I was like, I'm just working with teenagers. Man, he's got so much better fruit. God's using him with adults. And it's such a silly thought, but like, that's what I was doing. I was doing that. I was younger. Now I look at it and go, man, you were younger. And because I was comparing different people's fruits with what I was doing and what I learned. And Joe taught me abruptly, in a loving way, I just want to clarify, was the fact that I was comparing this and that, but I wasn't actually looking at my own life. And he said, Jack, you got to actually look at what God has given you now. And you're producing fruit in the now. You're not just producing fruit in the future, but you're actually producing what God has given you. You're being faithful in what God has given you, and that is the fruit that God wants to give you. God hasn't called you right now to lead a youth ministry of 250 or 300. God hasn't done that, but he's called you right now just to be faithful with what you've been given, and that is producing the fruit that you have done. And it changed everything in my life. It changed how I viewed things. I wasn't comparing because I just realized, no, God hasn't called me right at this point to do that, but God has called me to produce fruit with what he has given me, to be faithful in what he has given me. And it was such a freeing feeling now. And it's funny, now that we are seeing over three campuses, 300 teenagers plus every Friday night, it's like, well, I believe it's because I was faithful with the 30 personally, but we got to be faithful with what we have been given. And I know at times constantly in our workplaces, with our businesses, with our families, we would see people be like, oh man, they have so much more fruit than us because they're richer than us, or they have a better family than us, or they've got a better job than us. And we call that the fruit, and we compare our lives to those lives and we're like, we're not that good. We can't produce that. We're not as accomplished as them. We're not as successful as them. And we view the world's sense of success as fruit, but that's just not the case. See, each of us has been given different personalities. Each of us have been given us different strengths. Each of us have been given different spiritual gifts. Each of us have been given different capacities. Yeah. See, we've all been given different differences in life, and what we're actually called to do, instead of compare ourselves to people that are more successful, that feel, seem like they've got it all together, we just need to actually go, God, what have you given me? What have you actually given me? And then what God has placed, the area that God has placed you in, the family that God has given you in, the job that God has given, the business, whatever it may be, that is what we're called to produce fruit in. We can't just look at the future and go, no, I'm called to do that. We actually got to be faithful in what God has given us now. We can't compare. Don't compare, because God is not calling you to compare. God is calling you to do well with what he's given you now. We are called to be who we are, work in our strengths, both physical and spiritual, and get the fruit that is produced from that. And if that's what society calls success, well, that is awesome. But if it's just being an unbelievable employee, a great family person, living a life for Jesus and just using your spiritual strengths or whatever it may be, that is awesome. And I really want to touch on this right now. Maybe you want to be someone that wants to pray for people and they can get healed. Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. And there's been discouragement that has come because you've asked them to pray for them and then they haven't been healed. And then you're like, oh man. And then a person like 2 minutes later comes and prays for them in the church on Sunday, and then they get healed there. And you're like, but I did that, God. And you get discouraged from that. Well, maybe that's not a spiritual strength, like gift in your life. And be okay with that. And I would encourage you, find your spiritual gift, because we've each been placed in different areas and different spiritual gifts. So don't get discouraged because it's not the one you asked, but seek God and go, God, what are the spiritual gift that you need? Because every area is just as powerful as another area. We need to be faithful in what we are given. We're all being dealt different hands. That's just the reality of it all. We've all been dealt different hands. Imagine if all of us were the same. We'd just be a bunch of robots. It wouldn't be great. But we've all been dealt different hands, different life circumstances, and we're called to produce fruit in that. And I believe that this is confirmed in the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And if you don't know the story, it's where a landowner hires workers throughout the day. Some earlier in the day, some later in the day. But what he did is he promised the same amount of money to both. He promised the same amount of money to the people that worked all day and the same amount of the money that for the people that worked only half a day or later in the day. And the story goes on to say that the workers that got paid and the workers that got hired early in the day started to complain. They started to go, this is unfair. They started to be like, why is he getting paid the same as me? I worked so much harder than him. I did so much more than him. I worked, so, and this is just not fair. And the landowner goes, you're right, it's not fair, but I can do with my money what I can do. I can do with what my money, whatever I want. And the thing is, he's like, I was truthful. I didn't back out. I paid you what I promised you. I was honest with that. And you don't complain. Just be grateful that I was honest and actually gave you that life. And I understand there's people here that have got the justice type minds. I'm a little bit like that. And you're like, no, you're right, Jack. That is not fair. Those workers aren't, that's actually not fair. That's you're right. And you're like, this doesn't make sense. They deserve to get more money. Well, I can be a bit like that. But to me, one of the things Jesus was saying in this parable is he was showing how some people may receive more or some people may receive less in terms of worldly possessions or opportunities. And instead of complaining about it and being a victim about it, at times that we can be with the life circumstances when they hit hard, when challenges arise, we can't just be like, oh, that's not fair. I'm a victim. This is awful. But we actually need to go, well, this is what I've got. Let me make the most out of it. This is what the hand I've been dealt. Well, okay, although that person has been dealt, it looks like a better life. They've got challenges. I'm just going to be faithful with where God has placed me in. I'm just going to work as hard as I possibly can. I'm going to just, instead of having an unfair victim mindset, I'm just going to keep pushing forward and be faithful in what God has given me, because I can guarantee you when you decide that, when you decide to go, you know what? God has placed me at this workplace. God has placed me in this family. God has placed me in this suburb. God has placed me here, and this is my little thing. I can tell you right now, you will start to produce fruit and see fruit today and not just tomorrow. But then focusing on the today will then help you produce and see fruit tomorrow. John 16 verse 10 says this, if you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Let's be people that are faithful in the little things, which is the now, because God will bless us with greater things. Church, we are called to be faithful with what we are given, faithful with the area we have placed in, faithful with the business that we have started, faithful as with the family that we have been, the responsibilities in our lives. But how do we be faithful though? Like, life gets tiring. Discouragements definitely come in life. Challenges arise, and bosses can be frustrating at times. I'm not speaking on personal sense right there. No, Joe's amazing. I just want to clarify that. Joe, but we've all got bosses. They can frustrate you. Even the best ones can frustrate you. It's a part of just having a boss. They're teaching you life. God doesn't put a boss in your life and go, you're going to love it. He's going to poke things in you. He's going to teach things. He's going to grow you. It's a part of the life. And I want to clarify, Joe is an amazing boss. But the question... No, Joe is an amazing boss. But when challenges arise, I had to really quickly do, when challenges arise, we must be people that go, okay, God, what are you teaching me? What are you growing me? Because I want to live a fruitful life. It is worth it. And I love how Jesus explains how to produce fruit and live a fruitful life in John. As Jesus is speaking to the disciple at the Last Supper and says in John 15:1-8, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Remember that. That's powerful. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Jesus starts these verses by just telling his disciples that figuratively, he is the vine and we are the branches. It's a pretty odd thing to say, isn't it? Like, that's a pretty weird thing to say. Like, what does that mean? Why couldn't he just say, hey guys, if you're like connected to me, like I'll give you life. And like, so just like stay connected to me, like follow me, like guide me, like lead me. But instead he goes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And I'm no botanist. As we learned at the start of the year, I'm not a botanist. I've gotten a garden now in my house, and that's been interesting. Not in my house, at my house, but that's been interesting. And but you see, I'm not. So I did some research. I said, "What? Like, I kind of get what vines and branches do, but I'm gonna explain this this well, so that we're all under." Michael's laughing because he's like, "How do you not know that?" Well, Michael, not all of us study science, so. Vines provide support, nutrients, and connection to the source of life for their branches. The branches, in turn, are dependent on the vine for these essential elements to grow and produce fruit. If the branches are separated from the vine, they will eventually wither, dry up, and die. So when Jesus is saying that he is, and he is telling us that he is the vine and we are the branches, explaining that he will provide the support and fuel we need. And if we are connected to him, the source of life for us, which will grow us to be people that produce fruit. But if we do it without him and separate ourselves from him, the fruit in our lives will wither up and dry up. And I've got a bit of an illustration today, as you can see. And look at that. It's like yellow there. That's crazy. I've got two bananas here. I bought both of these bananas yesterday. $1.28 from Warner Woolworths. Both of them combined. What's that each? I don't know. 70 something cents. 30, 60 cents. 66 cents. Something like that. It's not that. but I bought both of these bananas. They're both from the same. I ripped them apart and I placed one on the bench and I placed one in the freezer. And you see, what happens is one looks pretty delicious right now, doesn't it? If you like a banana and you're not allergic, you're going, I could eat that right now. I haven't had breakfast this morning. That looks quite nice. And then one looks pretty dead, doesn't it? Looks pretty mangled. I actually don't really enjoy touching it. It's because it's squishy and it's just not enjoyable. And you see, what it is in life is we got to put ourselves in the right environment so that we can provide nutrients to the world around us. See, we can come to church on a Sunday morning. That is good, and it's going to be kind of useful. Like, it's going to be like this. I can make banana bread from this. I could make banana. That's kind of useful. It'll kind of provide nutrients. I just got to put it with sugar and a bunch of stuff, and it'll be decent. Or we can actually go, you know what? I'm going to do more than a Sunday church. I'm actually going to seek the kingdom of God on my Monday to Saturday. I'm not just going to attend church on a Sunday and sit there just going, this is exciting. I'm ticking the box. But I'm actually going to put myself in an environment Monday to Saturday and even Sunday where I'm going to receive from God so I can provide nutrients to the world. So I can actually produce fruit that it's going to that's going to help me, that's going to help the people around us. We got to put ourselves in the right environment. You see, I can't really do anything with this, but this one, anyone could eat. Yeah. We got to put ourselves in the right environment so that God can ripen us, so that we can provide nutrients to the people that he's placed in our lives. Because of if we don't, in the end, this is what we're just going to be. If we just tick a box, if we don't seek God, this is what we are going to be. But we're called to be this church. We are called to be this. We're called to actually provide nutrients to the world, provide life to the world, to actually give fuel to people in the world. And that comes from God. If we do that, the people around us will be impacted. If we do that, the people around us will actually see there's something different about us, that we're called to be different. If we do that, we're actually going to produce great fruit. So let's think about it. As I mentioned, Jesus explained he is the vine and we are the branches. And through him, we will produce fruit. So that would mean spiritual fruit as well, wouldn't it? And I love what Paul says in Galatians as he teaches us the comparison of living by our flesh, in a sense, without the vine, but also living by the Spirit and God and being connected to the vine. Let's read Galatians 5, 16 to 26. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. That is pretty strong language. If we're real about that, Paul was very strong. Paul was very strong with what the flesh is and what the Spirit is. But I can tell you right now, it is the correct language. If we live by our flesh, we will fall into temptation at times and live a life that doesn't produce good fruit. But if we connect ourselves with the vine, which is Jesus, he will provide us with the nutrients to change from flesh reactions to Spirit-filled reactions. So instead of having selfish ambition, we'll be loving. Instead of being bitter, we'll be joyful. Instead of showing discord, we'll be peaceful. Instead of being impatient, we'll be patient. Instead of being jealous, we'll be kind. Instead of being impure, we will show goodness. Instead of showing idolatry, we will be faithful. Instead of being harsh, we will be gentle. Instead of being undisciplined, we will have self-control. And church, I can tell you right now, I would prefer the second version of each of those compared to the first version. I can tell you right now that relying on the flesh is only ever going to hurt yourself and hurt the relationships around you. But if you rely on the Spirit, you're going to be patient. You're going to be loving. You're going to be joyful. You're going to have self-control. Church, we are called to live in the Spirit. But the thing is, we got to put ourselves in the right environment so that our reactions, as soon as they hit, are going to be Spirit-filled reactions. They're not going to be fleshly reactions. Relying on the flesh will cause pain, but relying in the Spirit will cause life. And I want to encourage us today. Write those fruits of the Spirit down. Write love, write joy, write peace, write patience, write kindness, write goodness, write gentleness, write self and self-control. I think I might have missed one there. But let's write those down and actually do a stock take in your life. Ask yourself, how well am I doing being loving? How well am I doing being gentle? How well am I doing showing self-control or being patient? How well am I actually doing in these areas? Because I know when I've done that, I know when I've actually done a stock take, I've been pretty good in one area, but another area hasn't been that great. And then I work on that area, and then I do another stock take, and then the area that I was good at, that's dropped a little bit. Like, I can be quite loving at times, and then I can get tired of being loving because people are frustrating. Let's be real. I'm going to work on that area and ask God to work in that, because that is good fruit, church. That is good fruit. Fruit doesn't have to be in actions. It can just be in reactions. I came up with that just then. That was really good. God's just, he's firing me up. Church, let's be people that are loving. Let's be people that are joyful. Let's be people that have patience. Let's be peaceful people. Let's be kind people. Let's be good people. Let's be faithful people. Let's be gentle people. And let's be people that show self-control, because we are going to live a far greater life than we could ever imagine. And the way that we grow in these areas is being attached to the vine. Because as the verses of John say, when we attach ourselves to the vine, which is Jesus, he will cut off every branch of ours that doesn't produce fruit, and he will prune the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. And as I mentioned, I've recently just gotten a house. Sold my apartment in the last 6 months, bought a house, which is pretty good. God's been very good in that, and he's been it's all him in that sense. He's been awesome. And a part of buying a house is I have a big garden now. And I liked the garden. I thought it was great. So I've got like grass and then garden all around here. It's quite nice. And I liked the garden. And I remember Tiana's pa came over. Tiana's granddad came over one day and was like, "Hey, can I like do some stuff in your garden?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to say no to that. Go for it. I don't know what I'm doing in the garden. Go for it." And so he starts doing that. And I wasn't living there at the time because I was just getting a few like renos done before I moved in. So I get back a couple of days later after he's done the garden, and everything's like cut down. Like everything's like, all of my bushes are like low, all my plants are like cut off, everything's like, it's not looking good. It looked really good and then it looked pretty bad. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And because Tiana's pa did it, I couldn't ask him, like, because not my pa, like I just had to say thank you. But inside I was a bit annoyed because I was like, you've just ruined my garden. I know you've been doing this for 50 years, but you've ruined my garden. So what I did is I called my mother-in-law and I said, "Hey, I've just been home and my garden's kind of gone." And she explained to me, she's like, "Oh yeah, Pa did tell me that," which is her dad, but she said Pa. "But he did tell me that he's pruned everything and gotten rid of all the weeds and all the stuff that's killing your garden because it actually wasn't in good shape." And I found out that some of the flowers were actually weeds. So I didn't know that. So what he did is he pruned everything. He ripped out all the weeds so that life can then grow in that. He cut off all the dead things in my garden so that life can grow. Even though I thought they were flowers, what would have actually happened in 6 months' time, I would have gotten there and my garden would have been very bad. It would have been very dead. But now, in 6 months' time, there's going to be great life to my garden. My garden is going to look amazing. It's all going to be healthy. And just like what Tiana's Pa had to do in my garden, we need to allow God to do it in our lives. Well, we each have areas in our lives that need to be cut off, and we have areas in our lives that need to be pruned so that we can produce more fruit. And what I find that every single one of us struggles in one of the few of the areas of pride, lust, greed, dishonesty, and addiction. And from there, because we struggle with those areas, guilt and shame kind of come upon us. And then we go, "I'm going to hide this part of my life and I'm going to try and do it on my own. I know God could heal me. I know God can fix that area. I know I could speak to someone and everything will be good. But I'm going to hide my area in that area in my life because I'm just going to be able to fight it on our own." But I can tell you right now, you're not. It's a dead branch. You can't heal a dead branch. It's dead. You got to cut it off. And you see, what happens is, and we just try to do it our own we got to isolate it and do it, and it just doesn't work. And church, I can tell you right now, every time one of my youth leaders or a teenager comes to me with an issue in their life, with an issue that they're dealing with their life, and I'm able to walk through them, that's the most powerful time, because that's when freedom comes. See, prior to that, they're trying to do it on their own. It's not working, and it's not happening. But with them, and as they come to me, and I'm not like, get off team. Get off team. You sinful man. You sinful woman. I can't believe you're struggling. That is, we're youth leaders, we've got to be perfect. That's just terrible. No, I don't do that at all. I go, okay, thanks for opening up. Come on in. We're going to deal with this together. I'm not going to tell anybody. But we're going to deal with this together, and from there, freedom comes. And it's because they didn't isolate themselves, but they went, I'm going to go to a leader in my life, and I'm going to get them to help me take that area in my life and fix that area in my life. Do you see, it's power when we actually go. And if you are struggling in those areas, do it with God. Don't isolate yourself. Go to a trusted person. Go to a trusted pastor and let there be a shift in my life. Because imagine this. When Tiana's pa came to me, imagine if I just said, and he said, I want to help you with your garden. And I just said, No. I'm going to do it. I know you've had 40 years of experience. I know your garden's amazing. I know you've got a million mandarin trees that I steal fruit from all the time. But no, I'm doing it by myself. You know what would happen? All those weeds that I thought were flowers would kill my garden, and I would have had a major issue in 6 months' time, all because I had too much pride just to let my Tiana's pa fix my garden. And it came from me trying to isolate. That's what would happen. I would have killed my garden. And at times, that is what we need to do with God. We need to go with God, and I know, and get God to cut those dead branches off our life, because that's what they are, church. They're dead branches. And don't just do it by yourself, because it's not going to go away, but trust God. You don't have to do it alone, because all you're doing is harming your life and your relationship with God and others. So go to God and let Him cut the dead branches off your life, because I know when they are cut off, you will feel free, you will feel light, and fruit will be able to be produced from your life. And I believe that everybody here can have dead branches cut off their life, but you just need to give it to God. Because as Jesus says, you will not be fruitful unless you remain in Him. Can I please have the band come up? And as I mentioned, yes, there are areas that need to be cut off completely in our life. There are dead branches in our life, but there's also areas in our lives that we need God to prune. And what I found out recently, as Tiana's pa taught me, is pruning is not nice. Like, my bushes don't look good right now. My flowers, yes, they've been pruned, they don't look great. It's not that nice. It's not a great sight. But the thing is, you prune for the future, not for the present. And I want to encourage us right now, there are areas in each and every one of our lives that need to be pruned. That need to be pruned. And I can tell you, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be nice. At times it's going to feel painful. At times it's going to be challenging. But that's God pruning you so that you can handle what He has for you. We're called to produce lasting fruit, church. And sometimes we got to prune. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, it's a process. Yes, it's not going to happen quickly. But I can tell you right now, it's going to make you as healthy as you possibly can. And there are people here today that are going through a challenge right now. I want to encourage you. God's just pruning you for what He's got in His future. God doesn't give us a challenge that we can't handle. He just, and there's just challenges arise, and it's us being pruned for our future. So in those times, go, God, grow me. God, teach me the areas where I need that need to become healthy. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, Jack, my life's going really good. Everything's awesome. Everything's amazing. And because of that, you've become pretty content with life. Well, I want to ask you this question and propose this to you. Even healthy branches need to be pruned so they can be healthier. And maybe you're sitting here and you are going, life's pretty good. Life's awesome. Like my family good, my work's good. But maybe there's actually more. Maybe God wants to actually prune a healthy area in your life so that you can be used to do far greater things. Because church, we are called to produce lasting fruit. We are called to produce fruit in every single area of our life. So ask yourself the question, God, ask God the question, God, Where do you need a prune in my life? If it's healthy, if it's unhealthy, I know it may not be nice, but I'm willing to do it because I know it's going to make me healthier. I know it's going to actually let me produce greater fruit than I could ever imagine. Church, if you are in that position and you're going, my life's good, stop blending in, but go, I'm going to push further. Stop blending in and go, I'm going to do more because I know God has more fruit for my life. So actively pursue God. Let Him mend those areas. Bring Him in and give Him the control. Yes, it will be painful. Yes, there will be sacrifice and obedience needed, but it will be worth it because in doing that, you are connecting to the vine. From that, God will be able to use you well in whatever area He has placed you in because He can trust you. You'll have the health to be able to produce great fruit. When challenges arise, instead of taking control or instead of letting flesh reactions come, fruit of the Spirit reactions will come. Self-control will come. Love will come. Peace will come. And you're not just going to take it all in yourself, but you're going to go, God, I trust You. You're going to take this and you're going to create good fruit. And the best part is, church, the pruning process will never stop. I'm sorry, but there's always room to be pruned. You could be 99, you can be 13, you can be 8. The pruning process will never stop. God will constantly prune you. Don't ever think you're too good to be pruned because God, there's always more. God is a God of abundance. So if He's a God of abundance, there's got to be more, but we got to let Him prune areas. We got to constantly let Him cut those dead branches off our life. Church, we are called to produce lasting fruit. In John 15, verse 16, it says, "You didn't choose Me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using My name." God, He's chosen us. He's chosen me and you. That verse doesn't say He's chosen a section of us that are perfect, that are going to get it right all the time, but He says He has chosen you, which means every single person in this room to produce lasting fruit. So let Him cut off those dead branches. Let Him prune those healthy or unhealthy areas. Don't compare yourself to other people that and let society's version of success take over your life, but go, God, I'm here for the process and I just want to produce lasting fruit in every single area, not just in my employee, not just in my workplace, not just in my family, but in every single area You have placed me in. I don't want it just to be fruit for the now, but I want it to be fruit for tomorrow. I want it to be fruit for my kids, for my grandchildren, from their children. I want to produce lasting fruit because, church, He's chosen us. Make that a promise. It's a promise in your life. So maybe you do need dead branches to be cut off your life. I want to encourage you right now. Go to God this week and go, God, cut off that dead branch. He's going to give you a tip. He's going to give you a key. He might even heal you in that moment. But also go, God, I'm ready to be pruned. Put yourself in an environment that's going to create nutrition. Don't put yourself in an environment that's just going to create death. That's just going to wither up and be no good. But we're called to be put in an environment Sunday to Sunday that's going to create nutrients into the world. That's God's going to actually be able to create good fruit in our life. Get closer to God, seek Him more, as I know that if you do that, you're going to have so much more grace for people and the fruit of the Spirit will come out of you. Let Him cut those things that He needs to cut. Let Him prune your church. It'll be the best decision you make this year. And I know if you do that, you'll produce great fruit that will last a lifetime, as well as the generations that actually come after you. God loves you and He wants the best for you. So lean into that vine. Don't disconnect yourself with the vine, which is God, but connect yourself with the vine because I know from there fruit will be coming to your life, not just in the future, but for the now. That's awesome. So right now, what I want us to do, can I please ask, have everybody just bow their heads and close their eyes in this place? I would love to give everybody here an opportunity to enter into relationship with God. I understand not everybody here would currently be in a relationship with God, but I've been speaking all morning about a God that loves us so much, that wants the best for us, that wants us to provide everlasting fruit, that He will help us, He will guide us, He will lead us, He will cut some things down, He will heal us, He will do whatever He needs to do so that we can be the best versions of ourselves. And to be the best versions of ourselves, it's to be connected to God. And in the Bible, it says, if you want to enter into relationship with Jesus, all you need to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, and you will be saved. So what I want us to do in a sign of to go, God, I believe it in my heart. Can you just raise your hand in this place? And that means that just to say, I want to enter into relationship with God. That's awesome. There's one hand there. There's two more hands over there. Praise God. This is the best decision you'll ever make. Is there anybody else that wants to enter into relationship? Well, nobody's looking around. That's awesome. And the second part about this, it says, and confess it with your mouth. So church, I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe in you and I want to have relationship with you. I know I have sinned. Please forgive me and help me to live my life more like you. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for my wrongdoing. Because of you, I now have hope and eternal life. As a Christian, I want to follow you. Amen. Can we give those people a round of applause? It's amazing. It's the best decision you'll ever make. But church, let me pray for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have branches that need to be cut off, need to be pruned. So Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person in this room. Lord, if there's branches that need to be cut off our lives, Lord, cut them off in Jesus' name. Lord, let there be a healing. Lord, let there be guidance. Let there be direction. Lord, let there be an openness. Remove all guilt and shame over those people's lives. And Lord, let there be freedom in Jesus' name. And I pray right now for, Lord, show us the areas that need to be pruned, healthy or unhealthy. Lord, let us grow more and more like you. Lord, let us be more and more connected to you. Let us not just get comfortable in ticking a box on a Sunday, but Lord, let us be people that want to produce lasting fruit. Produce lasting fruit now and forever, Jesus. I pray, Lord, let us be open to the pruning process, despite it being painful, despite it being hurtful, despite it being not that nice at times. Let us be people that commit to that so that we can be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Fantastic. Thank you.